Amen. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We also just came back from Jeju Island. It was myself, David Wu, Paul Marriott. Hey, Paul's back. Yay. And Maureen Lau and Ashley Blair. The five of us joined the Korean church on a mission trip to Jeju Island in Korea. It was a great time. We did an English camp with them. So thank you for your prayers. Matthew 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, 6. But you... I'll wait actually for you guys to get there. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and our ushers are bringing a Bible to you. Matthew 6, verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this time where we can just read your word and hear your word. And I pray, God, that you would really speak through me. We just give you this time. Holy Spirit, we pray just for a real spirit of revelation, God, to come, that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear and receive what you are saying to us today, God, and that it would really come and transform our hearts, God, that you would really just come right now in your manifest presence, God. We ask you, Lord, to come and speak to us and touch our hearts today. We thank you. We need you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message today is Do Your QT. Yeah? Do Your QT. And if you're wondering what QT is, it's a very church term. If you don't grow up in the church, you wouldn't know what QT means. So in SP, we try not to use these exclusive Christian terms. But basically, QT stands for quiet time. I like to call it quality time. And what it is it's you setting aside a bit of time during your day just to spend time with God. You know, it could be prayer, it could be reading the scriptures, it could be reading some kind of Christian material, you know, a book or something. But it's just sitting in His presence, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to really speak to you, to minister to you, to meet just the needs in your heart. And I was praying about what to speak on. I was really busy. I was in Jeju Island, so I didn't have a lot of time, but I was praying and really trying to hear from God what He wanted me to speak about. And I really felt that God was longing for us to really come to Him, you know? God's heart and desire, there's just a longing in His heart, you know, for each of us individually as His children to come and spend time with Him. And I really felt like I wanted to encourage our church to really come and sit at His presence and spend some time with Him. Because it's so good. I'll get into it later. Hong Kong can be such a busy place, right? I think, I don't really know these things very well, but I think it's a spiritual thing, you know? There's some kind of spiritual power at work in Hong Kong, and everyone seems to be so busy all the time. And at our house church, one of our house church members taught us this, but BUSY is an acronym for being under Satan's yoke. Oh, that's hardcore. Being under Satan's yoke, right? And if you think about it that way, really, the devil is robbing us from being able to really enter into God's presence and really have a fellowship time with Him, growing deeper in our intimacy with Him. And today's passage that we read today, you know, it's a promise from Jesus, right? That if we would go into our inner room, our secret place, and pray to our Father, He will see what we're doing in secret and He will reward us. You know, He will come and He will give us the rewards of spending time with Him. And so, in a typical evangelical church, right? In a typical, like, Presbyterian church, quiet time is It's almost like the 11th commandment, you know. It's not like that in SP, because SP, we're trying not to be legalistic in these things, right? But if, like, me growing up in a church, in a Presbyterian Korean church, doing your quiet time was a must. Like, if you didn't do it, you were not a good Christian. And I actually felt very heavily burdened by it growing up. You know, we had this little devotional material, and every youth group would do this. They would give it out to the students, and they would say, okay, so every day you need to sit and read this book. You know, there's a page, a scripture, and a short devotional material on it. And for me, it was a huge burden, and I would feel so guilty if I didn't do it. But when I did it, I got nothing out of it. You know, it was so boring. And it was very, very forced. Every time I try to sit down and do this quiet time, QT, as we call it in Korea. They always say QT. But, for me, it was driven by guilt, you know. I felt so guilty because it was so forced onto me growing up. Whenever I didn't do it, I felt so guilty. But whenever I sat down to do it, I was like, this is so boring. What's the point of this? And it wasn't until college I realized that, you know what, it's QT, quiet time, is not about going through some kind of material and going through the motions. It's just spending time with God as you would with a friend. And I just learned, you know, in university that I don't have to have a specific method for it. And you know what, I don't even have to do it every day, you know. There's no rule in the Bible that says you have to do it every day, or you're not a good Christian kind of thing, right? So I'm here to tell you that, you know what? I don't spend time with God in a quiet time way every day, you know? I try to, but there are days when I forget to, when I'm too busy and I just forget to set aside some time. And that's okay. If you find yourself finding it difficult to spend time with God every day, it's okay, it's normal, I think, but I want to really encourage you to do it. You know, the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, right? Basically, the whole thing is we don't have to set aside a specific time to pray or read your Bible or spend time with God, but throughout the day, you remind yourself of God's nearness with you, and you're always constantly conversing with Him and meditating on Him and thinking about Him. And so I try to do that, you know. I try to do my quiet time, my QT, set aside a time to spend time with Him. But if I don't get to, or whether I get to or not, throughout the day I try to meditate on God being with me and just His presence with me all the time. But which is really good, but it's really hard to do because of all the distractions. So if you don't set aside a time and you try to just do this practicing the presence of God thing, you would find that it's very difficult because, you know what, in your life you have so many things to think about. You know, you got your household chores and you got your work and pressures from family, relationships, all these things coming at you. So while I think it's really good if we could practice the presence of God the way the author of the book talks about, I think it's very difficult. So here, I want to encourage you to do your QT, you know, set aside a time because it just makes it easier, you know, to be able to fellowship with Him and grow in our intimacy with Him. And so the last thing I want to do is put a burden on us. I grew up with this burden. It really was damaging to me. I felt so guilty, so condemned all the time. So there is no pressure on you. There's no burden or some kind of law on you that says you have to spend time with God every day for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever your church says. But there are lots of good reasons, you know, to do your QT. So I just want to mention three. We'll look at three sort of rewards. You know, the scripture says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And I just want to look at three simple rewards of spending time with God, of doing your QT, doing your quiet time. So number one, quiet time makes room for divine guidance, right? Quiet time makes room for divine guidance. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 12 through 13. Luke 6, verse 12 through 13. Okay, it says, "And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles." Right, so we can see in this passage, this is Jesus, and he goes off to the mountainside to pray, spends the whole night in prayer to God, and then when he comes back down from the mountain, he picks the 12 disciples that he's going to travel with for the 3 years of his earthly ministry. And it's not explicitly written out here, but it's implied, right? That when he went off to the mountainside to pray the whole night, he was seeking God's guidance and direction as to who he was supposed to pick as the 12 disciples, you know, and God really spoke to him and God guided him and he picked the 12 disciples. I wasn't here last Sunday because I went to Jeju Island, but I kind of talked to Pastor Sam beforehand, asked him what he was going to speak on, and he said he was going to talk about spirit Christology. I don't know if he did that last week. So, you know, the whole thing is, the whole idea of spirit Christology is that when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't do ministry, he didn't operate as God, right? Because he laid aside all his godly attributes, his omniscience and his omnipotence and omnipresence, right? So he laid that all that aside, and when he ministered and when he spoke to people, when he preached, when he taught, it was through the Holy Spirit that was living inside of him. And so we can see that Jesus, he spent time in the presence of God by the help of the Holy Spirit to really get divine guidance from him. And the implication of spirit Christology is then that we as well, having the Holy Spirit inside of us, can minister in the way Jesus did. But if we want to minister in the way that Jesus did, we really need divine guidance. You know, we really need to be able to hear what the Father is saying. You know how Jesus says in John 15, I think, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, quite literally, apart from the mercy of Jesus, we can do nothing. You know what I mean? Everything that would, even the breathing, the walking, the eating, is by the grace of God because he's the one that gave us life. But more specifically, to live for his kingdom purposes. You know, our verse says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." This is talking about the kingdom of God, right? God's not giving us our own individual kingdoms to reign, but he's talking about how God wants to give us his kingdom. But if we want to really be part of his kingdom and operate, you know, for the kingdom purposes of God, we really need divine guidance. You really need to hear from him. And quiet time, you know, setting aside the time to really sit in his presence is a good time where we can really hear from him. I just want to read you this postcard. When I was in YWAM, Youth of the Mission, I did my discipleship training, discipleship training school at YWAM, and this is a postcard they gave one of the speakers. He was very prophetic, so he prayed for each student. There was about 30 students. He prayed for each student and wrote a postcard. And I just want to share this with you. "Sachel, this may sound funny, but I saw a picture of you jumping from an aeroplane with a parachute. You are a fighter in God's army, the kind of troops that go first into the enemy's camp to prepare the way for the others to come. You will go to many nations, and God will use you to lead many captives to freedom. I saw you blowing up prison walls so the prisoners could escape. I pray that the Lord would give you wisdom and understanding where you need to go first. It is very important that you spend a lot of time with Jesus. He will give you your plans for action. The Lord is with you, Nate. Blessings, Mark." And I highlighted, it is very important that you spend a lot of time with Jesus. You know, And he says, he will give you your plan of action. And I, it's not just for me, right? God has different plans and purposes for each one of us. But it is very important that we spend a lot of time with Jesus because he will give us our plans for action. So that's number one, quiet time, you know, setting aside a bit of time to sit at his presence and just fellowship with him, you know, hang out with him. It makes room for divine guidance in our lives. Number two, quiet time helps us conform to the image of Christ. You know, SP, our mission, is to know him, to be like him, and to make him known, right? The first one's to know him. The second one is to be like him. You know, it's our core mission, one of our core missions, to be like Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you know, when he called people to believe in him, he didn't say, just believe in me, and that's it. But, you know, he wanted disciples, right? He wanted people that would follow him, that would do the things that he did and live the way he lived on this earth. And so, John Stott, he is a famous theologian. He's written many, many books, Anglican minister. So, right before his retirement, in his final public engagement before retirement, he preached a sermon. And the title of the sermon was, What is God's Purpose for His People? And he says this, I want to share with you, this guy, he's like 87. He's retiring. He's spent his whole life ministering and serving the Lord and living as an Anglican minister. And he says, I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth. God wants His people to become like Christ. Christ's likeness is the will of God for the people of God. All right, so we have to get that in our hearts. You know, we can't just sit here. I hope that we're not just sitting here thinking, oh, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. So there we go. I'm going to go to heaven and life is all good. And let me just go do my thing, live however I want to. And then at the end of it all, I'll go to heaven and, you know, that's awesome. But I want us to understand, or I hope we can understand, myself included, right, that Christ, he didn't call us just to believe in him and have salvation, but he called us for Christ's likeness. You know, he called us to become like him, to live like him. You know, the Bible's full of passages, right? To have the mind of Christ and imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're always called to become like Christ and to conform to the image of Christ can mean so many things, you know. It could be the way we reach out to people. It could be the way we love people. It can be in the way, just in our humility, right? And the way we live righteously in this life. And also, it could be the freedom that Jesus Christ had to be like Jesus in the freedom that he had and the joy that he had while he was on this earth. But whatever those things may be, I believe that we can conform to the image of Christ. One of the best ways to do that is to spend time with him. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. Sounds like something, you know, our parents would tell us. We're hanging out with the wrong crowd kind of thing. But it's true, right? There's truth in that. You hang out with people that do certain things. You hang out with them long enough, they're going to influence you and you're going to join them in what they're doing. And the flip side is also true. If you hang out with someone that's really godly and just a fantastic leader, you're going to become like him. And the same way, I believe, the more time we spend with Jesus, the easier it'll be for us to become like him. We know this from experience, that spending time with people can change us. So I came to Hong Kong when I was 11, from Korea. I didn't speak a word of English when I came to Hong Kong. And then I learned. But I think because English is not my first language, it's my second language, right, basically, I find that my accent keeps changing depending on who I spend time with, you know? Because it's not my own. So if I spend time with, like, Australians, it's crazy. But I'll start, for I don't even consciously do it, but I try to sound like an Australian. Like, I start sounding, I change the way I speak. If I spend a lot of time with Canadians, especially because I worked at a Canadian school for 3 years, right? I find that I'm talking like a Canadian. You know, I say A all the time. I say sorry, you know, process. It just happens for me. I don't know if it does for you, but I find my Korean also changes. If I spend time with, like, Koreans from the countryside, I start speaking with that accent and stuff. But, you know, things like that happen. You know, we spend a lot of time with people. It changes us. And it helps us, it makes us become more like that person. And same way, you know, we're called to become conformed to the image of Christ. And I believe quiet time, setting aside time throughout our day to spend with Jesus and sit in His presence, read the Word of God and pray and worship, it changes us. You guys know, some of us know, this term called soaking, right? Soaking is kind of this new, I don't know how new it is, but it's this thing that Christians do. Certain sect of Christians practice this. It's called soaking. Basically, the whole idea of soaking is you sit or you lie down in the presence of the Father, and you don't do anything. You know, you don't pray, you don't read the Bible, you don't try to worship, you know, but you're sitting just in the presence of God, and it's called soaking, right? And they use this illustration to explain soaking, and they say you take a cucumber, and if you want to make a cucumber into a pickle, you soak it in pickle juice, right? But if you soak a cucumber in pickle juice for 1 hour and you take it out, it's still a cucumber, you know? You soak it in there for 3 hours, you take it out, it's a cucumber. You know, but you soak it in there for days and days and days, and then you take it out, it's a pickle. And the whole idea is we're called to become like Jesus Christ, and how are we going to get there? We soak in His presence. And that's specific to soaking, but I think it works as an illustration just for spending time with Jesus. You know, you don't have to practice soaking, you know, to spend time with God and to become like Jesus. You know, as we sit in His presence, get away from the busyness of it all and sit and be in the presence of God, reading the Word of God and praying, and I believe that you would find yourself in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And the last one, number three, the last one, a reason why we should do our quiet time is very simply, we get to spend time with God. You know, we get to spend time with God. You know, we got to think about that. You know, first of all, God wants to spend time with us. If we turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, very famous verse. I'm sure you've heard it and read it many times. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Jesus says, "I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if you will open the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me." It's a good picture, right? It's a really good picture of how Jesus just wants to spend time with us. You know, Jesus wants to hang out with us. He doesn't necessarily want to just equip us for ministry. He doesn't just necessarily want to like heal us and transform us. He wants to hang out with us, because dining together really is a picture of hanging out. We see this when we are fasting. You know, January rolls around and we begin to fast for 21 days or whatever. And what happens for many of us at church is we just don't know what to do. You know, whereas when we're eating after church service or after another church thing, we'll be like, hey, what do you guys want to do? Okay, let's go to this restaurant and hang out. So eating is a means to hang out, basically. You know, and when that's taken away from us, when eating is taken away from us, we're like, I don't know, let's just go home. You know, we find that we go home more, we sleep more, we spend more time by ourselves, which is a good thing because that's the whole purpose of fasting, I guess. But, you know, like when eating is taken out, we really see that fellowship gets taken out, you know, as well, or it decreases. Because eating, dining together is such a picture and such a good way to fellowship and hang out. And I think we have to understand Jesus, you know, of course he wants to be worshipped and he wants us to really, you know, come before him, bow down before him and love him, worship him, serve him, give everything to him. But there's also another aspect of our relationship with him where he wants, you know, Jesus says, I do not call you slaves, I call you friends. And he wants us just to spend time with him and hang out with him. I went to Sheko yesterday with our youth group. We took him out for a barbecue at Sheko. And I love going to the beach. I love standing at the ocean and just looking at the ocean because it's number one, it's so big, you know. The ocean is so vast and so huge. And I always think about God and how big he is and how vast and awesome and great he is. And what an awesome privilege, you know, what an amazing privilege it is for us to be able to spend time with the creator of the universe. You know, if you have ever seen this DVD by Louis Giglio called Indescribable, if you haven't, I recommend it, highly recommend it to you. But he goes through basically the universe. He kind of looks at the different stars and he kind of gives us some information. He does it really well. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining it. But it's amazing. He has all these pictures of these beautiful galaxies and stars that's way out there in space. And it's humongous compared to what we are on Earth. And the message is, you know, God is so big. We're so small. And God is so big, and he has created these stars and Milky Way galaxies that nobody has seen in you know, thousands of years. And really, he created it just so that he could enjoy it, you know? He didn't make it for us, but things are out there, out in the universe, and it's beautiful, majestic, magnificent, and it's all there just to tell of the glory of God. You know, just a simple fact that I Googled yesterday. The Milky Way galaxy is the galaxy in which our solar system exists, right? If I get it wrong, please forgive me. Our solar system exists in this galaxy called Milky Way Galaxy, and there's tons or hundreds, millions, I don't know, of solar systems in this Milky Way galaxy. And so in a Milky Way galaxy, approximately there's 400 billion stars. And if I'm not mistaken, a sun is a star, right? Like the planets aren't stars. So there's like a 4 billion sun-like stars. And there's, through the universe, as far as they can tell, there's about 100 to 200 billion galaxies. I mean, think about just the vastness of it, right? Milky Way galaxy has 400 billion stars. And then there's 100 to 200 billion galaxies out there in the universe. And we are we're not even a speck of dust. So if we compare the vastness of God, the greatness of God, and that he would be mindful of one of us, that even right now, with just maybe 90 little people gathered in this church, that God would come down and descend upon this church to spend time with us, to meet our needs and to speak to us and to encourage us and comfort us and strengthen us. You know, it's an amazing thought, and so it's a huge privilege, you know, that we get to spend time with God, and I hope we don't substitute a mechanical, like, going through the motions. I hate the going through the motions kind of quiet time, you know, where we sit and we have a book or a devotional or something, or we have a certain chapter of the Bible that we have to read. So we just sit and we go through the motions. You know, we read that chapter. It doesn't do anything for us. We read a little devotional. Doesn't stick at all, but we just do it, you know, because that's what we have to do. We go through a list of prayers. And sometimes it's necessary to persevere through. But I'm not talking about a mechanical, just like you go through the motions kind of spending time with him, you know. But the kind of spending time where it's really genuine, a personal relationship like you would a friend, you know, or your father or your mother or your brother. And I just want to say this is possible. I don't know if all of us have that, you know. Probably not all of us here have experienced a relationship with God or a spending time with God where it's personal and it's intimate. And it's not like you're spending time with a book. You know, it's not like you're just reading something, but you're actually spending time with a person. But I'm here to suggest to you and tell you that it's possible and it's available to every single one of us. This is what... I think just changed my life as a Christian. I grew up in the church and everything was mechanical. Everything was you go through the motions and you read the Bible and you do this and you do that to become a good Christian. And then I found out that God was real, that he speaks to people, and that I can have a personal relationship with him, and it changed everything. And I just want to say it's available, but just don't give up. You know, if you find it hard, and you're like, you try to do your quiet time, but it's boring and nothing's out there. Don't give up. You know, don't give up. Keep doing it, and God will come. And it's the most satisfying thing in the world. God is the most satisfying thing in the world. That's one more passage, Psalm 27:4. We'll be done very soon, I promise. Psalm 27:4. This is King David, right? And he says, "One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." He says, this is the one thing, the one and only thing that he would desire and seek, is that he would dwell in the house of the Lord and that he would behold the beauty of the Lord. And that's what we're doing when we do our quiet time. We're beholding the beauty of the Lord. We're dwelling in his presence. And John Piper, he's a pastor in the United States, and he kind of started this movement, really. It's called Desiring God. And their main message is that the chief aim of man, the chief purpose of man, is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And he says that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. You know, Pascal says, all men seek happiness, and he also says that it's okay that we do. He said, all men seek happiness, and that's just how we were created, and it's not wrong for us to seek happiness. What's wrong is that we seek happiness or we find it in so many wrong things. And the Bible, I mean, one of the main messages in the Old Testament is God is calling out to the Israelites and saying, hey, all those things that you're turning to, you know, money and prosperity and idols and sex and these things, you think they're going to satisfy you, but they're not going to satisfy you. So come back to me Because here you will find true happiness and true satisfaction. So it's not wrong for us to be living for happiness and for pleasure and satisfaction. It's just that we find it so many times in the wrong things, where we should be getting it from the Lord, and God is most glorified when men are most satisfied in Him, in the presence of God. And I believe quiet time is the most direct way of enjoying Him, you know? Spending time in the presence of God is the most direct way of enjoying God and finding out the pleasures of just being in the presence of God. So the third and last reward of quiet time is simple, that we get to spend time with Him, which is the most satisfying and enjoyable thing in the world. So I just want to end with this quote by Brother Lawrence, who wrote the Practice of the Presence of God. So he was a man, he was a monk, basically, and he found himself in the monastery. He had to do a lot of chores. He had to do a lot of dishes and cleaning and stuff. And at first, he really didn't like it, but then he learned that in whatever he's doing, you know, he can be in an intimate relationship, intimate closeness with God. And so he began to practice the presence of God wherever he goes, whatever he did. And so this is what he says, just an excerpt from the book. I have seized all forms of devotions and set prayers, except those which my state requires. I make it my priority to persevere in His holy presence, wherein I maintain a simple attention and a fond regard for God. I hope this can speak to you in your own life as you go through, because I know we're so busy. And life in Hong Kong especially is so busy. So hopefully just the insights that he shares can help us to practice the presence of God wherever he goes, whatever we do and wherever we go. So wherein I maintain a simple attention and a fond regard for God, which I may call an actual presence of God. Or to put it another way, it is a habitual, silent, and private conversation of the soul with God. This gives me much joy and contentment. In short, I am sure beyond all doubt that my soul has been with God above these past 30 years. I pass over many things that I may not be tedious to you. Yet I think it is appropriate to tell you how I perceive myself before God, whom I behold as my King. I consider myself as the most wretched of men. I am full of faults, flaws and weaknesses, and have committed all sorts of crimes against this King. In deep regret, I confess all my weaknesses to Him. Sorry. I ask for His forgiveness. I abandon myself in His hands that He may do what He pleases with me. And then this, the next two paragraphs, I want you to just hear. My King is full of mercy and goodness. Far from chastising me, He embraces me with love. He makes me eat at His table. He serves me with His own hands and gives me the key to His treasures. He converses and delights Himself with me incessantly in 1,000 and 1,000 ways. And He treats me in all respects as His favorite. In this way, I consider myself continually in His holy presence. My most usual method is this simple attention, an affectionate regard for God, to whom I find myself often attached with greater sweetness and delight than that of an infant at the mother's breast. To choose an expression, I would call this state the bosom of God, for the inexpressible sweetness which I taste and experience there. If at any time my thoughts wander from this state from necessity or infirmity, I'm presently recalled by inward emotions so charming and delicious that I cannot find words to describe them. This is written in the 17th century, 1600, AD. And so this is not a charismatic, like Holy Spirit, whatever kind of guy saying, oh yeah, I feel the presence of God kind of thing. This is a 17th century monk who practices the presence of God daily, every day. He says, he calls it a simple attention, an affectionate regard for God throughout the day. But it is so delightful to him. The way he describes it, inward emotion, so charming and so delicious. Sweetness and delight, inexpressible sweetness that he tastes and that he experiences. So I just wanted us to have a longing for this sweetness, for this satisfaction, for this pleasure that is available for us, every single one of us, as we practice the presence of God. And if we can't do it throughout the day because of work and stuff, take some time out to be in his presence, experience this joy, this sweetness, this delight, delicious delight, you know, that he called, you know, that talks about here. So, you know, application, right? Do your QT. You know, I encourage you to do your QT. Don't make it a burden. Don't make it a legalistic thing. God is not sitting there angry if we don't quite do our quiet time one day. You know, you come back to him a week after your quiet time, he's going to do the same thing. You know, my king is merciful and gracious, and he treats me like I'm his favorite. He's going to treat us like we're his favorite. So do our quiet time. Set aside some time. And but secondly, if you're a Christian, right? If you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a child of God, I hope that you can long for this kind of experience. I hope that there's a longing, a hunger in your heart. You know, Mike Bickle, he's the founder of IHOP, right? And I heard a sermon by him. I don't have the exact words, but he said, if you find yourself as a Christian and you're bored of praying and you're bored of reading the Word, you need to put yourself in an emergency situation. Like he's saying, it's not normal for us to be a Christian and find it so boring to be in his presence. He says, you need to, red flags should be going up, and you need to call an emergency situation to say, what is wrong with me? And figure it out so that you find that joy, that pleasure in being in his presence, you know? And so, you know, I just want to say, if we don't find that, then let's figure it out, you know? Let's do something, you know? Let's not just let it pass us by, just living this life passively, but let's go to God and say, God, how come? So, I mean, if you don't find that you have that joy, that inexpressible joy and sweetness, go to God and say, God, how come? You know, what's going on here? And how can I restore that joy, or how can I experience that joy? So let's close our eyes. The three things were, number one, makes room for divine guidance. God speaks to us, gives us plans for action. Number two, it conforms us to the image of Christ. And lastly, we get to spend time with him. You know, it's inexpressible joy in his presence. So let's just close our eyes and let's invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's already here, right? God's everywhere all the time. But let's pray that he would increase his presence, you know, that we can feel his presence, you know, that we will be able to feel just a little bit of this sweetness and the delight of being in God's presence. So just spend a bit of time in prayer and in fellowship with him. Lord Jesus. Shundara. So today, I realized that there might be some of us here that actually don't have a relationship with God. You know, you might have just come to church with a friend, but you don't really have a personal relationship with God. And God has made it available to us, but it's on His terms, you know, and it is through Jesus Christ alone. As we put our faith in Him and we admit to God that we cannot get to Him on our own, with our own goodness, with our own merit, and we give ourselves to Jesus, we submit ourselves to Jesus and say, you know, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I cannot get to God on my own, but I know that you died for me. You know, you shed your blood, right? And you paid the penalty for my sin. And if we do that, if we call it accepting Jesus into our heart as our Savior, you know, if we accept Him as our Savior, then there's an open channel for us to be able to get into the presence of God. So I don't know, right? I don't know if there's anyone here that has not given their life to the Lord yet or has not accepted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But if there is, I want to give you an opportunity to respond and take this time to begin a relationship with Him. And if there is a stirring in your heart or some kind of, if anything's happening, you know, in your heart, it's probably the Lord, you know, calling you and inviting you into a relationship with Him. So if that's you, if you want to answer that invitation and say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior, I want to accept Him into my heart as my Savior, then I encourage you just to put your hand up. Oh, with all eyes closed, so you don't have to feel embarrassed or anything. You know, just put your hand up and you can just respond by saying that, yeah, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. If at any time, like even when you go home and you have this thought again about, you know, having a relationship with God and beginning this relationship with God, I really encourage you just to pray a simple prayer of acknowledging your sin and receiving the forgiveness of Jesus and accepting Him as your Savior. And this sweetness, this delight, this awesome joy and satisfaction of being with God will be available to you. So I just encourage you to do that. And the rest of us, let's rise and let's sing this song together, and then we'll pray to close the service.
what can I say? So what can I say? So what could I say? And what could I do?
Dear God, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence. We want to live constantly just in awareness of your presence, God, in recognition, you know, of your presence with us, your nearness with us. And we, like Brother Lawrence, want to experience, God, this indescribable sweetness of being in your presence, God, throughout the day. So help us, Lord, I pray that you will increase a hunger, God, in our hearts, Lord. Increase that, God. I just want to break, you know, anything that desensitizes us, you know, to the presence of God, to the glory of, the glory of God, and to the joy of being with you. I want to pray against that in Jesus' name, whether it's just distractions, God, or busyness, God, or just a hardened heart. But Lord, I pray, God, that you soften us as a church, as a body of believers, God, and individually as your children, that we would long for a nearness, God. We would long for this relationship, this intimacy with you. So God, come and increase that in our hearts. I bless this congregation and my church, you know, our church members, God, with a real hunger for you, a real desire to pursue you and to pursue your presence. And and we thank you so much, God. We love you, Lord. Your presence is good. Your nearness is good to us, God. And you are a good God. You're a good God. I pray just your protection and covering over our church members, God, as they go off to their own workplace, God, and families and different things, God, today and for the rest of the week. Watch over them and protect them, God, and draw them to yourself, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.